My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday are all bad days and... Oh no, how does this go? I remember. Take one. This is fresh. We haven't sung this yet. Here we go. Oh, one, two, three, four. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday are all bad days, and the only try day is Wednesday. I promise I knew this song when this started out. Let me look at the lyric. Come on, phone. The only try day is Wednesday. My minisode came out on Wednesday. On Wednesday. If your minisode didn't come out on Wednesday, I advise you not even leave home.
What song was that?
One Take Wonder right there. I didn't mess it up at all. It's Wednesday. Wednesday Car by Johnny Cash.
Heck yeah. And we didn't mess up at all.
And the Ring of Fire. You know that guy?
I know Johnny Cash.
Reese Witherspoon's husband?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, Joaquin Phoenix. Exactly.
I worked at a store in high school for like a couple years. And my boss at that store... Johnny Cash's birthday every year, he, like, against the rules of the store, would, like, play Johnny Cash over the speakers. And he would, like, put posters up in his office, and he would, like, talk about how he would rather celebrate Johnny Cash's birthday than his own. And I, like, that's my, like, first brush with Johnny Cash, and it was a fun one. He was really funny about Johnny Cash, that guy.
I love, which I mean, is something that everyone does because, you know, I've had roommates who their whole identity was how much they like loved Ariana Grande. But mm-hmm. I just love seeing that personality in like full adults or middle-aged people.
Me too.
Because you kind of forget that people continue to be fans of things after they're, you know, in their teens and 20s.
And I agree.
My fifth grade teacher was that way with Shania Twain. He just like thought Shania Twain was the bee's knees and was like his idol.
I love that.
I love that stuff.
I totally agree, because I feel like so many of my like young traits, my like juvenile traits are like me like loving so I love mm-hmm. seeing adults who also like unabashedly and like share with others how much they love stuff, like they love a band or they love a movie. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm always like, I'd rather celebrate Glee's birthday than my own, you know.
Honestly, you totally do. What's Glee's birthday? May 19th, right?
I don't know.
So like
May
just a
something,
few days before your birthday.
Yeah, it's somewhere in those May teens.
Yeah, honestly, just have a birth week and throw Glee in there.
And we have a little joint birthday party, me and Glee.
I love that.
Yay!
Yay! Oh my gosh! Well, welcome to your minisode. Who the heck are you?
Hi, I the heck am Ian, and I also the heck am like mini Gleek.
Oh my goodness!
Who the heck are you?
Thanks for asking. I the heck am Lena. And I the heck am also a mini clique.
No way, you're lying.
That's the thing, is I don't lie, I tell the truth.
I have heard that about you.
Yeah. I famously tell the truth.
One of Lena's most famous quotes that I hear talked about all the time is mm-hmm. when she said, "I cannot tell a lie." My teeth are made of wood is also the follow-up mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah. Yeah, two things about me. I've got wooden teeth, and I cannot tell mm-hmm. a lie.
Amen. I've been saying it for years. That's Honest the Lena. Two pillars of her personality.
Yeah.
Honest Lena, wooden teeth. Honest Lena wore stovepop height. Wore stovepop. Hello. I don't know how to talk. We're taking this again. Take one. I haven't said anything yet. Honest Lena wore a stovepipe hat, a top hat. Are a stovepipe hat and a top hat different things?
You think I know that?
I don't know. Abolish slavery. Also was our first president and our 16th. Has wooden teeth, loves Glee.
Are we like combining two people? Was our first?
Well, because I cannot tell a lie is George Washington and then Honest Abe is Abe Lincoln. Oh, so
God.
I just married the two inside your soul.
I understand. I was both of those people. Amazing. Well, welcome to...
Well, oh my God.
I don't know. I'm glad we got to giggle a little bit because this is going to be a somber mini-sode. I hope you got to have a moment of levity with us.
Yeah, I hope our speaks of the founding fathers really...
Listen, love when people talk about the founding fathers.
I hope our little history lesson was enough to carry you through what will be a less lighthearted than usual mini-sode.
This is our episode on our mini-sode on the quarterback. We talked about the quarterback last week, and this week we are responding to messages that listeners of the podcast have sent us about the quarterback and their thoughts on the episode. Thank you to everyone who sent us messages. We had, oh my God, so many people share their stories with us and share their thoughts and share their good memories with us about Corey. It was a lovely thing to witness. So thank you so much to everyone who sent in messages. Seriously. Let's start with, up first, we have a message from Jordan.
Hi, Ian and LPC. Trigger warning about death and grief. On the topic of Tina's role in the quarterback, I wanted to add a bit of my own thoughts about how her scene with Emma almost works for me and why this makes it all the more frustrating to watch. Every time I watch this scene, I find myself empathizing with Tina in the first half of the discussion when she expresses how she isn't sure how much longer she can go on showing these outward signs of grieving. I think this alone could have been such an important perspective to touch on. Without getting too personal, I lost a large number of family members back to back, and there was a point where I felt similar to Tina in feeling exhausted or drained by not only continually grieving, but by still having to show outward signs of grief to others that expect it from you. Everyone's grieving process is so different, and feeling like you must uphold a standard of mourning that others deem appropriate, even if it isn't expressive of how you yourself are feeling, can add to the emotional and physical fatigue you experience while processing a loss. Every time I watch this scene, I perk up a little and think, wow, that's a great perspective to touch on, that Tina, usually shown as a very emotional person, has reached a point where she feels she can't continue mourning this way. And then they do that horrific 180 and turning it into a distasteful joke and about how Tina is just being selfish. The fact that they start the scene in a way that makes me empathize and lean in to see how they portray this less talked about but still very real side of grief, but then quickly undercut it by being not only rude to Tina, but cruel to Jenna, is really disheartening. I just wanted to potentially bring some perspective on how, for a lot of people, the first part of Tina's statements could ring true. Sometimes it feels impossible to continue mourning and grieving, even though you're still hurting. It doesn't mean you grieve the loss any less than others who might express their grief differently, and that's an important realization that the writers totally mishandled and overshadowed. Thanks for handling this episode and its heavy content as you always do, with such love and care. Consensual forehead kisses, Jordan, she, her.
Jordan, I love this message. I read it and I was like, oh my God, this is so like insightful. And I was really grateful to read it. And like, that is totally a thing. Like in grieving, I feel like, you know, especially others' expectations of you can like seriously drain you. And I would have loved to see that perspective on the show, and them turning it into a joke just makes me so sad. So, oh my gosh,
Yeah, that was like the theme of the week was people writing in to talk about how Tina's statement was very relatable and a very real expression of grief. And which is also something that I fully did not clock. So I just want to thank everyone for reaching out with those thoughts. And it does, as Jordan says, make it all the more frustrating that the writers almost tap into something that could be such an interesting and fascinating perspective and instead just make a cheap joke out of it. And they're like, anyways, moving on to the next scene. Like, obviously, you know, this episode is filled to the brim, so they only have so much airtime. But they truly could have just had Emma's final line be something different that kind of, you know, comforted Tina or talked about how she doesn't need to fulfill others' expectations of her grieving or shows a little more empathy towards her. Could have kept the same runtime and had this be an interesting portrayal of grief fatigue and having a hard time with people watching you grieve instead of just making a joke about how isn't Tina such an awful person and so callous.
Yeah. Totally. Jordan, thank you so much for this message. Up next, we have a message from, oh my gosh, real life friend of the podcast, Hayden.
Ian and Lena, you two are absolutely correct that the I hate wearing so much black joke is a good joke in a vacuum, but in very poor taste within the quarterback. I really wish they had contextualized the joke within Jenna's / Tina's grief. I feel like this could have been a joke like Finn would have kicked over a chair. Imagine a scene where Tina and Blaine are talking, both genuinely expressing their grief, ending in a tearful hug. Then, in the embrace, Tina cracks a joke that she's overwearing black and they both laugh. At that point, Tina is in on the joke and does a much better job at not leaving such a poor taste in the audience's mouth. I do feel like there is a place for this joke in this episode, but they did a poor job of including it and including Tina. Anyway, I'm so glad you two are doing this podcast. It is such a fun way to hear from y'all now that we've graduated college. I look forward to it every week. You both are wonderful. Hayden. Hayden, so great to hear from you.
Yeah.
And also, I really like this thought. We got a lot of thoughts on, as we mentioned, how the Tina scene shows a very real side of grief that the writers clearly are not interested in unpacking. Mm-hmm. I also like this other perspective of another way that this could have worked in the episode. As we talked about last week, there's a lot of moments of levity in this episode. In my opinion, this Tina one is the only one that doesn't land. It shows that just because it's a memorial and it's pretty heavy subject matter, that doesn't mean that there should be no jokes in it. Just the jokes should be carefully placed.
Yeah.
And Hayden, I think this idea that you propose, I totally agree, is a way that they could have made this exact same joke and it could have been funny and, oh, remember when Tina used to always wear black and now she's wearing black again, but we have built up empathy for Tina in the scene so the joke doesn't feel like a smack across the face of the character and the actor.
Totally. Like, I feel like the way you describe it, like, I've seen people, like, say things just like that. I've heard people say things just like that, where they're like expressing real, real hard feelings. And then they crack a joke like, I can't keep doing this. You know, like they crack a joke like that and they like make themselves laugh and make you laugh. Like, I feel like that totally would have fit in this episode and it would have made way, I don't know. It just would have been way nicer.
Absolutely. I also feel like those are some of the most genuine, like that's some of the most genuine laughter you can have as a person is in moments of like complete darkness and despair. And then someone says something or something comes to your mind that is so inappropriate for the moment. And like the laughter that comes out of that is so strangely healing.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Steel Magnolias?
I have not.
You should. It's really beautiful. But the movie, at least, I've never seen the play. I'd love to see the play. But the movie, at least, do you know the basic premise? Well, anyway, a character passes away and then they're all grieving the character. And it's the rest of the women just like standing in the like the I don't know if it's the graveyard or like someone's backyard, but just out in the yard, and they are just like screaming like, this is like so unfair, this is terrible, like all of this. And then someone makes a joke and they all like start laughing, like just laughing. And then Dolly Parton goes, laughter through tears is my favorite emotion. Cause like, you know, it's like this like heavy, heavy, heavy. And then just like, oh my gosh, like the laughter that like is after that and like laughing through your tears is just like, I think one of the most human, beautiful things ever. I don't know. And Dolly Parton says it's her favorite emotion. It's really beautiful. If you can, I would check it out.
Oh, I have always wanted to see Steel Magnolias.
Yeah.
I just never have. Just never gotten around to it.
It's a heavy watch. It's a heavy watch. But it's very good. It's really beautiful. But a great example of what Hayden's describing of like, you know, expressing your sadness and then, you know, a joke that makes you laugh. And I think that's, it would have fit really well in the place of the monstrosity that is the Tina scene in this episode.
It's so weird because I feel like every other part of this episode is treated with so much care and has like so much thought put into it, you know, because Santana fully is making fun of Finn in this episode, but it is so well thought out that it doesn't feel distasteful at all because it is so clear why she's doing it and that it's a coping mechanism, yada, yada, yada. This Tina stuff is just such a bizarre oversight.
Yeah, totally.
And just really shows how much they seem to not care about this character.
I know. And like Santana like gets the time to like, you know, like Jordan says, like you have the time to empathize with what's going on. Like Santana gets that. Tina doesn't have the time, obviously. And you, like you said, this episode is filled to the brim. They don't have a ton of time, but if they're going to do something, I think they need to do it intentionally and like, you know, do it with thought and care. Silly Glee.
Hayden, great to hear from you, man.
Yeah. Hope good to hear well. From you. I love when, real life friends listen to the podcast. I'm like, oh my god, hey. Every once in a while my roommate will like reference something I said on the podcast. I'm like, you know that? Like, how do you know that?
I was gonna say, I also love when, because Hayden and I have talked about the podcast before, but it's been a long time, so I then love hearing them bring it up or getting an email from them and being like, you still listen? Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Totally. I love Hayden, it's so good to hear from you. Up next, we have a message from... Oh, were we about to say something?
It's truly not important.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you, in season two of this podcast, we like very early season two, you and I did a bit where we were talking about our inside joke, which is, they're coming for my brand. It's like anytime that anyone does anything well, we say they're coming for a brand. And we talked about how we used to do it all the time with a girl in college named Bella, who is very talented, but is very like not ever going to go for the same parts as us because she like looks totally different from us. Her skill set is totally different from ours, yada, yada, yada. Like a month ago, I don't know why I haven't told you this. A month ago, I got a message from Bella that was like, hey, I've been listening to your podcast. Sorry, I just like started listening to it randomly. I'm trying to catch up. And I have to know, is the Bella you're talking about me? Because we went to college with more than one Bella. She's like, is the Bella you're talking about me? And if so, I'm so honored. And if not, I never want to speak to you again.
No, Bella, it fully is. I don't know when you're going to get to this episode, but it fully is. It was specifically got like, should we, I don't know.
It was her audition for Rock of Ages for a theater in Colorado.
Oh my gosh, that's what it was. She killed it.
Yeah, that's the audition that she was filming when we were like, she's going for a brand.
A show I would like hate to be in, like that I would like never audition for. I'm so bad for. Like, I love that. That is so funny. I love that. That makes me so happy. Oh my gosh.
So anyways, all you SUU alum, we love having you listening.
Yeah, what the heck? I love that. Oh my gosh, let's continue on. Up next, we have a message from Kate.
Ian and Lena, Hi, my name is Kate, and I'm 19 from Kansas. Although I've been listening since season one, I've never emailed before because there is a specific episode in season five that I was waiting to share my thoughts on above all the rest. So expect an essay in your inbox from me when you get there. However, I wanted to share something that Leah said recently in regards to Make You Feel My Love and the quarterback in general. In July of this year, Leah went on tour and covered a handful of Glee songs, one of which being Make You Feel My Love. Before the song, she gave this speech about how the song came to be and her relationship with it. Seeing her get choked up made me incredibly emotional. I know that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about her as a person, but I think that it is important to acknowledge the heartbreaking loss that she suffered alongside the rest of the cast and crew. This is what she had to say. I did have the opportunity to pick one other song that I sang on the show. When it came time to film the quarterback episode, Ryan called me and he said, "What do you want to sing?" And I said that this is the hardest question that I have ever been asked in my entire life. How can I pick a song that says everything, you know? And so I was just like, what could it be? I don't even remember what I was listening to at the time. Like nothing. I was in such a hole. So to have to kind of think, and I'm grateful that he asked me, I really, really, really am, because it needed to be something that felt real for me. But it was also so hard to just think of what song. What could it be? And then I just immediately was like, oh, that's it. I think we maybe listened to the song like one time. Because I know when Rachel says in the show, we would listen to it, that's real. Because a lot of what I say in that episode, a lot of what I say to Matt's character in that classroom, were exact words that I said to Ryan after everything. I said, I don't want to be treated with kid gloves. I want to just come back to work and be with everyone because this is the only way I'm going to feel better. And I got to sing this song. I remember filming it. It was really hard. Really hard. I would film it and then I would run off and then I would come back. It was wild and hard, but we healed together and the song helped. I have never watched the episode. It's the only one I have not seen because I think if I don't watch, it just kind of feels like Finn is still there. So this one is really special. I think this really adds to the conversation of the episode blurring the lines between real life and the characters' lives. Something I am not against as long as it is done with respect for the actors in mind. Something that I think this episode certainly did. I don't have much else to say, other than I want to commend you guys for how well you handled such a sensitive and emotional topic. Tackling this episode is certainly not an easy task, but you did it so well and I found it very comforting. Thank you for all that you do. It has been so exciting and wonderful to watch you guys grow over the length of this show and to grow with you. Wishing you guys all the best, Katie. P.S. Happy late birthday, Lena. You looked so stunning in your Instagram post. And now my dream in life is to attend a Taylor Swift party cruise. Lamau.
Lamau. Oh my gosh. Kate, thank you so much. If you get the chance to go on a Taylor Swift party cruise, you definitely should. It was a blast and a half. Getting together and like singing All Too Well with a huge group of people, the All Too Well 10-minute version with a huge group of people is like one of the most cathartic experiences I've ever experienced in my whole life. It was amazing. So thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
I love this quote from Lea Michele.
Yeah.
Kate, thank you so much for sending it our way. All of it's so interesting. Her talking about how she, you know, picked this song and how a lot of the stuff she said in the episode was stuff that she said in real life. The thing that is the most interesting to me and also the most heartbreaking is her talking about how she has still never seen this episode. And I also wondered how true that is for how many... I worded that weird. I wonder how many cast members that's true for. Because like, as fans... I know so many people who like watched this episode when it aired and then never watched it again. And I imagine for the people who were living it, quite a few of them have probably never ever sat down to watch this episode. They just kind of had to get it out there and then move on. And that is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Dang, what a song to pick though.
I know that.
That stress is something I never would want to experience. To be like, hey, like one of the people you are most closest to in the world is gone and you're processing that. On top of that, what's the song that you want to memorialize them with that like will go down in history and everyone will know that it's the song that you picked. That's such a stressful decision. And that would like literally keep me up at night like nothing else. And dang, she knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely. I mean, and this song is like so beautiful, like beyond words beautiful. And like, it is like such a great pick. And I think that's such huge pressure to like try to encompass your feelings for someone so important mm-hmm. to you. I've always said, and this is just my opinion, like, I think it's so hard to ask, like, you know, direct family members and like people you are like super, super, super close to like give eulogies. It's cause, like, how do you ask someone to encompass their feelings for you? Like, that's just so hard. So like, but it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful tribute. And the way she sings this song is just lovely. And I think, you know, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
A huge ask, but I feel really, and I think I mentioned this in the episode, I feel really privileged that we got to see that. Oh my God. I'm emotional.
Yeah.
Whoa. Like, whoa. Anyway, Kate, I really appreciate that you sent us this quote, and I look forward to reading your essay in the coming weeks. We'll see you then. Up next, we have a message from Emily and Drew.
Hello, Ian and LPC. Firstly, Emily and I who are writing this together wanted to thank you for your handling of the quarterback. It's not an easy episode to talk about, but you guys handled it with such grace. It was emotional to listen to, and we're sure it was very emotional to discuss. We wanted to send our appreciation for you too. We thought it would be nice to share some of our favorite Finn and Corey moments because we love him. What are your guys' favorite Finn songs and storylines? We love Barely Breathing, Don't Dream It's Over, Losing My Religion, and I've Gotta Be Me. Emily loves Teacher Finn. Her favorite brotherly relationship in the whole show is Furt. It's not her favorite episode of the show, though. One of my favorite lines he ever says is in Prom Queen when Kurt shows them his outfit and he says, "Dude, that rocks. It's like gay Braveheart." Really, aren't these stepbrothers one of the most special things in this show, maybe? Corey is so charming as Finn, even with the character being one who makes mistakes. He's so loving to the other characters the way Corey plays him, and is a better Glee Club director than Will ever could be. A moment that touches my heart is when he tells Unique that he wants her to be Rizzo, and how he supported Artie and Naked to not do something he was uncomfortable with. Wink, wink, see you next week for the conversation on Katie or Gaga. Finn was so funny and loves these kids. Some of our favorite little behind-the-scenes moments are his impression of Chris Colfer from filming Props and when he mispronounces Bootylicious. Have a great week. We love the pod, and it brought us together, plus our friend Natalie, who is asleep right now. The Menaces from your Discord, Emily number 4 from England, and Drew, them, from my dorm in Georgia now. Please put in half an international listener's jingle to represent this.
I love this.
Emily, Drew, and sleeping Natalie, thank you for keeping our Discord lively, keeping it active. And thank you for this email. I was thinking a lot about this last night randomly, probably because I read this email or some other email that talked about Finn. I just love Finn as a character. Like, and this is like literally such not a revelation on this podcast, because you and I talk about this literally all the time, that we say, like, you guys, we get it, and we see the criticisms, we're not invalidating them. Mm-hmm. Something about him is so endearing, and I really think in this email, when they're talking about how Emily loves Teacher Finn, I just think that fourth season Finn really does show all of the character's best attributes. Like, yes, he is very flawed, and he cares too much about his status sometimes, and he says insensitive things. Like, he has plenty of flaws. But at his heart, he is a natural-born leader who cares about lifting up the people around him. And there's so many special relationships when he becomes a Glee Club director. Like, his relationship with Marley is so endearing. And how they have that, like, older brother, younger sister dynamic going on. He's the only one who's there for her and defends her when sectionals, like, when she faints after sectionals. Yeah. Bizarrely, the only one who doesn't blame her, which I don't know why everyone else does. But the way that he is like, you know what? If you want to still do Glee Club, I'm still doing Glee Club, even if it's just the two of us. Like, let's keep going. I just think it's so wonderful. And to see him take kind of his angry energy that he used to, like, beat up Puck on the floor during season one sectionals or, like, kick over chairs, and to see him apply that to standing up to Sue being transphobic and, like, standing up for his students. The growth of his character over those first four seasons is so great to watch, and to see him go from a very self-conscious teenager who has his heart in the right place but doesn't do the right thing always, to becoming a not very self-assured teacher but who cares so deeply and passionately about his students and is willing to go to bat for them, is so wonderful.
Totally. I think I agree with who said that they love Brother Finn. I think that was Jerome.
It's Emily again. Oh, I'm sorry.
Just kidding, Drew. I agree with Emily.
Drew, like, hates Brother Finn. It's their least favorite thing about the show.
They told me.
They sent another email that was like, don't read this one, but I think that Kurt and Finn's relationship is terrible, and I hate that they're brothers.
Totally. No. But I agree with Emily. Like, I love Brother Finn so much. I think when I think of Glee, like, in the past, now it's like, you know, as we've been analyzing Glee, I think about a million things. But, like, you know, before we started the podcast, when I thought of Glee, I thought of, like, you know, Finn standing up for Kurt in the hallways against Azimio and Karofsky in a Lady Gaga outfit. I think of Furt, like, them dancing together at the wedding. And I think of, like, you know, the journey of that Finn goes on, and then just the journey of the Hummel Hudsons in general is just one that really, you know, oh my God. And I think of, like, his relationship with Bert, just the Hummel Hudson journey in general is just one that really speaks to me. And is one that's very special to me in this show. And I just think this kid, Finn Hudson, a character who just is this giant person with giant feelings, like, about everything. He, like, you know, loves his girlfriend so much. He loves the sonogram so much. He wants to marry this girl in high school. He, you know, is just like, he, like, trying to find his way in the world. That's another thing I love so much about Finn. Like, Finn trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life. I think that's such a relatable thing. And we've said it before, like, you know, in a character, in a show full of people with ambition and who know exactly that they want to be on Broadway, someone just trying to figure their life out and, like, you know, trying to find their place in the world and keeping trying and failing is just one of my favorite things about this show. And I just, oh my God, I love Finn Hudson, and I love Corey Monteith for giving us Finn Hudson. And I, you know, just what an amazing, amazing thing that I got to witness growing up. And I'm so grateful for this show.
Yeah. And the resolution of that arc, which sadly got cut short, but it's, you know, it's very clear where it was going. To have Finn be so afraid, like you were saying, that he was a Lima loser, that he was never going to amount to anything. And he's surrounded by all these people who are really going places, and he is just going to end up being a nobody. And instead of resolving it by being like, and Finn, you know, the world realizes he's exceptional and he does become famous, and, like, having him get into the actor's studio and go to New York, but instead resolving it by being, no, he does stay in Lima, and he becomes what other people might think is a Lima loser by never leaving his hometown and having this low-paying teaching job, but he is doing exceptional work. Like, he is... In the same way that, although we hate Will, But in the same way that, you know, Will reached into his life and really changed everything for him and opened up so many doors in his life, he is now passing that on to the next generation of kids and making a huge change in his life. And I just think it's such a great message that it's like Finn's value is no less than Rachel's. Like, Rachel yeah. is on Broadway. She's Fanny Bryce. And she is going to have all this renown. And Finn is just some teacher in Lima, Ohio. And yet he is, you know, he is changing the world mm-hmm. in such a huge way and having such yeah. a huge effect on these kids' lives and is fulfilling his purpose just as much as Rachel is. Absolutely. And that's another thing. Rachel as a character, especially in these later seasons, she's got a lot going on. But one yeah. thing that I always love about her character is Rachel has always seen the value in Finn. It has yes. never been that Rachel didn't think that Finn was good enough for her. It's that Finn thought that he wasn't good enough for her. But absolutely. It's always been so clear to her. She even says, I don't remember when it is. I think it's the breakup where she's like, why can't you see the man that I see? That, like, yes, you know, she's on Broadway and she's doing all these great things, but in her eyes, Finn was always just as incredible as she was, and she recognized that he was, everything that he was doing was just as amazing and as valuable as the things that she was doing.
Absolutely.
And I think seeing that relationship and those two people who, like, love and value each other so much is such a great thing to see.
Absolutely. God.
Dang, Finn Hudson.
Finn Hudson, absolutely.
I love Finchel. I don't care. I said this in season one. I'm a big Finchel shipper. I think the two of them...
they're a great pair.
It's such a sweet pair.
They are.
Such a sweet pair.
And especially when you describe it like that, like this... I don't know. And I don't know. Back up. Seeing a Rachel Berry... like, someone who I, like, fully identified with in high school. Like, a girl who's just, like, too annoying for her own good. Is just obsessed with this, like, arts program that, like, no one else gives a shit about. Like, be, you know, not... I don't know if this is the right way to say this, but, like, be seen and be chosen by someone who is, like, so cool and so kind and, like, just, like, the quarterback. Like, I think that's, you know, we've been, you know... the general media is like the quarterback is, you know, the ultimate person, and just mm-hmm. to be seen by the ultimate person and to like see that person be so lovely. I don't know. Was just like so amazing to see. I don't know. I just love Glee. I love the show, and I love Cory Monteith's take on the quarterback character, you know, and like having this person just be so lovely. My God.
Well, and like to have this boy who is afraid that popularity is all he has.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then he finds this girl who sees so much value in him besides his popularity. And then you have this girl who everyone thinks is so annoying and abrasive and worthless. And he sees what a star she is.
Yeah.
That, like, they both see in each other stuff that no one else sees.
Yeah.
And they bring out those good parts of each other.
Yeah.
I love that stretch at the beginning of season two before all the cheating happens.
So much cheating in this show.
I know. It's ridiculous. But when Finchel just, like, it's honestly the only part of their relationship that isn't steeped in drama, because season yeah. one is the will they won't they, and then mm-hmm. the second half of season two is the cheating scandal, and then season three is the like should we get married, but there's mm-hmm. that sweet spot the first half of season two mm-hmm. when Finchel just get to be a healthy couple, and you know they get to try and push Sam and Quinn together and like
yeah.
have little fun adventures together yeah. and I love that dynamic. I wish like we had gotten it for longer.
The breadsticks like competition mm-hmm. oh my gosh, so fun.
It's so fun.
I know. I guess I'm a Finchel stan. I don't think I ever have said those words, but they're just a lovely pair, and I don't know. This show. I love this show. I love Finn Hudson. He certainly has got his faults, but man, he's so cute.
But man, can he dance.
Oh my God, his dancing. I feel like that's like such a long running joke. Like everyone, every interview he's ever been on for this show, like they're like, so you can't dance. And he's like, yep, I can't dance. But oh my God, his dancing is so bad. And it's so sweet. Oh my God, when he like earnestly dances with Mike, like, and like, honestly, you can see he's like trying to do a good job. And he's just like too lanky for his own good. God bless him. For like one of the oldest people on this show, he sure is so unsure of his body, just like a teenager. It like makes him look so young. It's so funny.
He plays. It's so funny because he and Mark Salling were the exact same age.
I know. And that is so wild to me.
If I like really think about it, I'll be like, yeah, Cory Monteith does not look like a teenager in this show.
Yeah.
But he plays such a convincing teenager that I genuinely have to think about it for it to bother me. Otherwise, I fully buy into it because despite what he looks like, he knows how to bring that energy that like not being self-assured, being so distracted all the time, being like very emotional with your hormones just going all over the place. Yeah. He knows how to bring that so well, and it is such a convincing performance that I don't even remember that he's fully 26 years old on the first season of this.
I'm really grateful that we got to I haven't rewatched this episode since it came out, I don't think, and I'm really grateful we got to rewatch it and rewatch it with the listeners, and they got to talk to us about it, and I'm glad that, you know, we got to see this show. And be, I don't know, I feel very, again, very privileged to have this moment to mourn this real, real loss, you know? And I'm really grateful.
Yeah, me too.
That's your mini-sode on the quarterback. Thank you again to everyone who sent in their thoughts and shared their stories with us. That means more to me than you'll ever know. And I really, I really genuinely, genuinely, genuinely appreciate it.
We feel weird about doing a relative pitch with this episode, considering what this episode, the purpose of this. Okay, why am I wording it like that? Considering that this episode is like a full memorial for someone, it feels disrespectful. Yeah. So we both won. We both were exactly on pitch. Can you believe it? We did an incredible job. Good for us. Put that in the score books that I know you're all keeping.
Yep. Absolutely.
A point for each of us today.
I love that.
Well, see you next week for Katie or Gaga. If you have thoughts to send to us, you can send them at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
I'm excited. We will see you then. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for your kind words on, oh my gosh, everyone was so nice to us about this episode. I was very nervous, but everyone was so nice. Thank you again. Here is a mini kiss on your mini, mini tiny tiny forehead. Consensual forehead kisses.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.